from the Attorney General's office.
Our counsel.
Patty Wolf.
Hi, Patty. We got more dialing in.
This is Tom Barnes.
This is Bob Hattoy.
Hi, Bob.
Debbie, it's Guy Nielsen, Fishing Game.
So we have a quorum?
We have a quorum. All right. Sir. Yeah, all we, in fact, we have a...
One to spare.
Commission, yeah.
Yeah, we
commission.
Do.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What would you guys like to do? All right. Welcome, everyone, to a teleconference. Emergency teleconference. Can I call it that? Okay. Department request for emergency action to consider conforming its 2003 sport fishing regulations with the recently amended federal recreational ground fish regulations and to close the recreational fishery for ocean whitefish. I just did Bob's part, but having said that, I'll turn it over to Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, thank you. As President Flores indicated, this is an emergency teleconference meeting requested by the Department of Fish and Game for the Commission to consider conforming its recreational fishery regulations for groundfish with the action taken by the Pacific Fishery Management Council on November 5th, as well as to consider closing the recreational fishery for ocean whitefish. Commissioners have been provided with some background material on this matter, including the statement of facts constituting the need for this emergency action, as well as the proposed regulations and strikeout underlying format. Earlier today and just immediately preceding this meeting, I forwarded from the department their memo dated November 18th with their recommendation on this matter and some background material that was provided by the department's marine region, information that was submitted to the Pacific Fisheries Management Council prior to the council taking or making its decision on November 5th. Also, I handed out to the commissioners here a letter from NOAA Fisheries recommending that the commission conform its regulations with federal regulations. Mr. Joe Blum from NOAA Fisheries is present, and I'll let him go on the record in a few minutes for the commissioners that are on the phone to know exactly what the NOAA Fisheries memo states. I don't know if the department's legal counsel wanted to make any comments at this time, or the department, or excuse me, the Attorney General's office, if legal counsel wanted to make any opening comments before we hear from the department.
This is Gary Taviton from the AG's office. We don't have any comments to make.
Okay. Thank you. With that, Zonke, let me just say that here in the commission's conference room is President Michael Flores and Vice President Mike Christman, from commission staff Sherry Cole and myself, Bob Trainer. From the Department of Fish and Game is Zonke Mastrup, interim director for the department. Joe Milton, legal counsel for the Department of Fish and Game. Don Schultz, a senior biologist with the department's marine region. We have Mr. Joe Blum from NOAA Fisheries and Mr. Randy Fry from RFA.
And we have a busload of guys downstairs, too.
Okay.
Bob, who else do we have on a phone?
This is Patty Wolf, Marine Region.
This is Bob Fletcher with Sport Fishing Association of California.
This is Bob Hattoy. I'm just in my own living room. No busload of people downstairs either.
Okay. I think there's some more department people.
Yes, this is Tom Barnes, Department of Fish and Game.
Okay.
Marcy Aramco, Marine Region.
Deb Wilson Vandenberg, Marine Region.
Connie Ryan, Marine Region.
Anybody else?
Yeah, the whole Marine Region.
Thank you. Mr. Interim Director, do you want to lead this off, or do you want to go directly to Patty?
I'll let Ms. Patty Wolf deal with the introduction.
Okay.
Thank you. I am going to briefly review the two documents that Mr. Traynor referenced. The Statement of Facts constituting the need for emergency action, and the memo that that the Marine Region or the Department provided to the Commission afternoon, which I hope you all have, that addresses sources of data that were examined and used making the in-season management that the Council and action that the Department's already taken and then that are available for your process. The emergency action request or statement request commission action to bring California space sport regulations into conformance with recently changed federal rules, as Mr. Traynor mentioned at the November council meeting. The council adopted or took action to close commercial and recreational fisheries for groundfish coastwide, with a few exceptions, for the rest of the year because optimum yields or OYs for several species have been exceeded. We're also looking for commission action to close the fishery for ocean whitefish. That is necessary to avoid a bycatch of the groundfish and nearshore rockfish species. Because ocean whitefish and these species often co-occur in the same habitat. This is something that the Commission has done in the past when fisheries for groundfish and nearshore rockfish have been closed. It helps avoid incidental take and discard of rockfish and in particular overfished rockfish. The emergency aspect of this is linked to the fact that federal regulations are scheduled to take effect on November 21st through the rest of the year, and a regular commission action process or even waiting until the December commission meeting with an expedited process wouldn't allow that to occur. Also, the department's issued a news release to close the recreational fishery for rockfish and lingcod effective November 21st. This is under authority in Title 14 that gives the department the authority to do that for federal rockfish and when those fisheries close. But we need to close the rest of the groundfish fishery and fishing for ocean whitefish. Of course, as is often a concern, if these fisheries aren't closed, they will create confusion for recreational anglers, certainly enforcement difficulties, but also create the risk of continued take of overfished species like canary rockfish and lingcod, and increases the risk for exceeding or continuing to or further exceeding the optimum yields for nearshore rockfish. In the statement of facts for the emergency action, there is a list of the OYs that we're talking about. There are also tables in the attached to the memo that we just sent today that give a little more detail about those OYs. But in general terms, in the statement or in the emergency statement, the OYs and the estimated catches listed there are total fishery OIs, so they reflect both estimates of both commercial and recreational catches, and they are coast-wide OIs and catches. They are minimum estimates from the perspective that the commercial catches don't reflect data on catches through the end of October for all of the. So the presumption is that once that information is in, those catch-ups will only increase. Just to identify those OIs, the coast-wide OI for lingcod was set at 651 metric tons. This is to meet federal rebuilding goals because lingcod are still listed as overfished. And through the end of October, the catches are estimated at approximately 966 metric tons. 2003 coastwide OI for Canary was set at 44 metric tons, and the estimate of catches through the end of October is at 52 metric tons. The 2003 OI for minor nearshore rockfish was set at 541 metric tons for the area from Cape Mendocino south, U.S.-Mexico border, and the total catches are estimated at 543 metric tons. That one is far in excess. It's right at the OI right now. Or based on those estimates as I described them. Then the 2003 OI for minor nearshore rockfish from Cape Mendocino north, that was set at 109 metric tons. Catches through the end of October are estimated at 402. So in all of these cases, we are either at or well above those OIs. I want to talk briefly about the memo that we provided to the commission regarding sources of data that the department and the council's ground fish management team examined and that were used in the decision-making processes. For the past several years, as I think most everyone knows, brownfish management for California has routinely used wreck fin catch estimates to establish annual regulations and track and season performance of the recreational fishery. Estimates because we don't have a way to account for all of the catches, for all the actual catches. The MERS sampling program, as I think everyone is familiar with, was not originally designed for in-season management use, but it's been identified by the council and the department as the best scientific information available for these recreational fishery management decisions. And I just wanted to point out that RecFin data are also used to develop catch histories for groundfish stock assessments. We've been using several stock assessments for groundfish and to directly establish the OIs that are used for groundfish management. And because those recfin catches are used to calculate the annual OIs, using other catch estimates or substituting catch estimates from other sources would really require some sort of established relationship between those other sources and the recfin estimate. The recfin July-August is what recfin calls wave four. Catch estimates for California nearshore rockfish, Canary rockfish, and lingcod were significantly higher than expected. There's some likelihood that those recreational anglers were kept off the water for the 8 months prior to the opening of the fishery in July. That resulted in some different and increased fishing pressure. But because the magnitude of that wave four catch estimate from the MERS data was high and varied from the norm, the department wanted to carefully review the MERS data and also looked at other independent sources of information. Just want to touch on some high points. The overall estimate of effort was was a big factor in the results of the catch information from wave four. It was higher than normal. In fact, it was the highest of any observed in the 1990s. And the principal reason for this, and the department went and really looked hard at the MRFs information, and what we found was that wave four catch estimates were exceptionally high, or unusually high, for the private and rental boat mode in the area of north of Point Conception. And there is some concern. There's been concern expressed that this data point is actually an outlier. But one of the ways we looked at this was to consider what would be the outcome if that number were actually lower. And in fact, if the wave four catch estimates for this mode were reduced by 60%, the OIs would still be exceeded. In fact, in order to stay within the OI, the effort in the private and rental boat mode would have to be below normal, which indicates to us that's unlikely. We also looked at Ocean Salmon Project data. The department operates a launch ramp catch survey to estimate the ocean salmon catches, but it can also be used to estimate rockfish catches, rockfish as a group, and lingcod. There are limitations to it because it's designed for salmon, but we wanted to find a way to compare the ocean salmon information with the MRFs information. And the number of groundfish anglers in August 2003, as estimated by the Ocean Salmon Survey, was about 42% greater than the average number of groundfish anglers seen by that sampling program in 2001 and 2002. And when we did a similar kind of analysis for the MRFs data, first of all, that shows an uptick or an increase in effort consistent with what we saw in the MRFs data. And when we did a similar kind of review of the MRFs data, while the magnitude of the increase in the MRFs data is larger than what we saw in Salmon Project data, the MRFs data estimate was 90% larger than what MRFs observed during that time period in that area in those previous years. We consider those to be similar trends, not inconsistent, for different sources of information. We also, as you know, are preparing to initiate a California Recreational Fisheries Survey beginning in January, and we have a pilot program underway that helps us refine our methodology for that program. And there were catch and effort information collected from skiff fishermen at the Bodega West launch ramp in Northern California in July and August, part of that pilot program. But because of limitations of the MRFs effort information it's collected for the random digit dialing survey, and limitations in the pilot study, which is confined to a single location, we were only able to compare the catch rates from MRFs and the catch rates from the pilot study. And the outcome of that was that the pilot study catch rates were higher than the catch rates estimated for MRFs. So using that pilot study information, some folks have suggested would actually increase the estimate overall catch. Those are the sort of the overviews of those two documents, and if anyone has questions, either I can answer them or I have Tom Barnes available on the phone to answer questions about the data sources, and then Marcy and I can answer questions about the emergency statement.
Okay. Thank you, Patty.
Excuse me, this is Debbie. It's Ty Nielsen, and I realized my phone was on mute, so I'd like to add my name to the Marine Region people who are on.
Why not? Thank you.
It's cheaper to participate.
Yeah, this is a lot.
That's right, you have to send them all.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioner, you have any questions of the department? You want to wait until public testimony?
I want to wait until public testimony.
Okay. We have with us Mr. Randy Fry. We'll go to Joe afterwards.
Okay. Oh, he gets the rebuttal, huh?
And then Bob Fletcher.
And Bob Fletcher. Yeah. Bob, you can go next as well.
We were at the PFMC meeting down in San Diego. Excuse me, RFA and Coastside, we presented to the GMT with much help by Tom Barnes. He went way over and above and beyond the call of duty, trying to talk the ground fish management into hearing our RFA effort survey. We presented that survey. It was well received. The problem is they said that it needed to be reviewed by the SSC, their Science Statistical Committee, before it could be used. So we will be working on that. But in that survey, I know you all received a copy in the mail. It showed that effort targeting rockfish during the months of July and August was 10% in August and 15.5% for the month of July. And that is fishermen reporting from Morro Bay all the way up to Humboldt. And at the time they posted what they were fishing for, where they were fishing, they did not know that that information was going to be used for this. So it's non-polluted information. And Coastside Fishing Club, the reason for its success is the timely posting of fishing, what they caught, where they caught it, so that the guys going out tomorrow won't have to search the whole ocean. They can know to go to such and such GPS points, and there's tuna there. But anyway, to make a long story short, it was well received, but it was not. It hasn't been peer-reviewed. Well, apparently, if you look at this data, it looks like common sense has not been peer-reviewed. If you look at this same MRFS data, it shows that the recreational sector between Cape Mendocino and Point Conception, we caught 30 metric tons of lean cod before the season opened. So that's all poached fish. It showed that during the wave, during July and August, we brought in 14 metric tons of canary. There's zero retention south of Cape Mendocino. All of this whole MRFS data is based upon 6,000 random telephone calls made to 6,000 telephone owners. And out of that 6,000 telephone owners, they happen to get 306, or it might be 309, fishing families. And from those 306 families, they've extrapolated this. Now, we know that there's not much the department can do. I don't know if there's much the commission can do. But I wanted to make it known that this works two ways. If we use this data, and we continue to use this data, and it shows that we are catching this much fish, then the department is going to have to go back and look at the historical catch rate and use these numbers over the last 20 years and change the allocation. Because after an 8-month closure, we were promised at least a 6-month fishing season. And we got 2 months cabazon. And we're getting, it looks like, 4.5 months of rock fishing based upon this MRFS data. And you know, we hope we're going to do our doggonest to work with the department and use this Coastside Fishing Board to try to improve their data and hopefully get it implemented into the SURFs. But I mean, this does not bode well for next year. These party boat guys, I mean, they're just pulling their hair out. Some of them are suicidal. I mean, they survived the 8-month closing, and now they're having to lay their guys off before Christmas. And They're all worried about texture. I mean, how do you run a business making widgets if all of a sudden you get a notice from the government saying, oh, wait, we're no more sale of widgets? You got to shut your factory down, lay off all your people. I mean, it is. And I'm sure you guys, I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm sure everybody knows. But I really think that this is a outlier. This Smurfs data, it's not the best available science. It is the best available garbage. This Smurfs data is 100 times, it's coming in 100 times the highest previous historical Smurfs wave. And because NOAA could not use the coast side data, and basically, I really think, in fact, some of the council members, Daryl Tysers and Roger Thomas, it defies common sense. This wave does not pass a straight face test. I mean, that our wardens allowed us to walk off the dock with 14 metric tons of canary.
Not that talk.
And that we caught 30, you know, based on extrapolating 300 phone calls, we caught 30 metric tons of lingcod while the season was closed. That's all I got to say.
Hi, this is Jim Kellogg.
Go ahead.
Before we hear from Bob, can we hear from Joe Blum?
Sure.
Excuse me, this is Patty Wolf. Those of us who are on the phone there, if people who are on phones could put their mute buttons on, there's been some interference and it's been difficult to hear everything I had to say.
Okay. You have your mute buttons on or off?
On, and then if people listening to their speaker phones, especially, it doesn't cut out. Thank you.
You may repeat everything, Patty.
No, actually, I got it, Randy, but it was hard to hear, and I just don't want to miss it.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
I got it.
You don't want me on mute?
No, I don't want you.
Mr. President, members of the Commission, Joe Blum on behalf of NOAA Fisheries. This afternoon, I was faxed a letter. You will receive a hard copy in the mail soon. I brought copies, and Mr. Trainer has distributed them. It's a letter from Acting Regional Administrator Rod McGinnis to yourself, Mr. President. The National Marine Fisheries Service, NOAA Fisheries, wishes to thank the California Fish and Game Commission for your expedition consideration of this action and express confidence that the Commission will act affirmatively to conform the state regulations. Your action is needed in order to minimize excessive harvest of overfished species, promote rebuilding of the stocks involved, and minimize the prospect for even greater fishery restrictions in 2004 due to overages in 2003. By taking this action, you will also prevent confusion among the fishers and enforcement conflicts that could arise with different regulations in state and federal waters. Finally, the Magnuson-Stevens Act contemplated that there would be cooperation between states and the federal government in carrying out fishery conservation and management. I acknowledge and commend the Commission for its many past actions to harmonize state and federal regulations. I must note, however, the Act also provides for possible federal preemption if a state action or lack of action will substantially and adversely affect the carrying out of a fisheries management plan. Obviously, this is a provision of the Act that we wish to avoid pursuing. Thank you again for your consideration of this action. Sincerely, Rodney R. McGinnis, Acting Regional Administrator.
Got a shot across the bow.
I'm sorry?
Is that a shot across the bow?
No. We thought it would be a disservice to you to lay out a series of items and leave out one that is there. It's a reality. This is not in any way a shot across the bow. It's what we would characterize as a comprehensive accounting of what's going on and what the possibilities are.
Okay. Mr. Fletcher.
Yes, good afternoon. Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay, well, good afternoon. First of all, good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the Commission. For the record, I am Bob Fletcher, President of the Sport Fishing Association of California, and I think you probably have a copy of the letter dated November 13th that I provided to the commissioners my copy to the department, raising some concerns that we had about the amount of information available. And I want to thank the department because I was, as Patty was providing the summary of the department actions, I was getting in my fax machine the written copy, so I was able to kind of glance through it. For the most part, it appears that they looked at some of these other sources of data that I hadn't heard that they had looked at previously, and I appreciate that. One area that I didn't see much at discussion of was the commercial passenger fishing vessel catch and effort during that wave four in the same area. And one way to look at ground truthing the MRFs, which we've beaten to death over and over, would be to look at the catch by the CPFV fleet to see if there was a similar quote-unquote uptick that would show an increase in CPFV effort consistent with that private boat effort. And I guess if there's a question, one of my questions would be, did the department attempt to look at that catch information to see if there was an increase in effort on rockfish during that period or not? And I guess I had another comment or two beyond that, but that would be a question I had.
Would you like us to respond?
Yes, please.
Can you answer that question, please?
I think we found our problem.
I don't know if it's a bad phone or maybe...
No, I had my mute on.
There you go. Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry. I was talking to myself for a second there. Yes, this is Tom Barnes, the Marine Region. And we did look at the CPFV catch data. Specifically, Debbie Hazeltine Nielsen spent some time looking at the different fishing modes in particular and looking at where, you know, how they tracked compared to normal. And it was the party boat data were within normal ranges. And not only that, the party boat data for wave four in the MRF system, in the rec fin catch accounting, was also quite similar to what the party boat industry websites has reported for that same period for their own, you know, on their own websites. So I think it's important also to note, though, that the party boat efforts effort estimates are not derived from the random digit dialing, and so it's not a direct comparison to the rest of RecFin. But Debbie, I don't have the specifics on the comparisons, other than to perhaps you could you have them handy, provide the specifics.
I should say that the, you know, and typically the party boat fleet does not, you know, take the bulk of many of these species, and that particular trend was also true in this particular wave. There was nothing out of the ordinary for the party boat fleet when we looked at any of the you know, party boat numbers that indicated that that something unusual had happened in the party boat fleet. Except there was as the only trend that we did see, which we saw throughout the fishery, was an increase in catch per unit effort and some increased weight.
I hate to interrupt, but please. You kind of lost me there. The question, just so I make sure I understood what I just occurred between the two of you. The question Mr. Fletcher asked is, did we see a similar increase in the commercial passenger vessel catch rates that you were seeing in the private boat data through MERPS? Did they both go up unusually?
What I was saying is that...
And I just didn't understand the answer.
Well, I'm sorry. The party boat fleet did not show the same increase as the private boat. And, in fact, all the different things that we looked at for the party boat is similar to the historic trends that we saw for party boats. So there was nothing out of the, nothing out of the ordinary from historically the trends that we saw to indicate that the party boat data had any problems with it. And as Tom pointed out, the CPFE effort data is actually calculated differently than the private boat data. It's calculated through a census of the a survey of the operators, the CPFE operators.
Tonight, this is Tom Barnes again. Just note what Debbie hinted at there was that the effort was not out of the ordinary for the party boat, but in fact it was exceptionally high for the private vessel, MERF's estimate. But other factors that go into calculating the total catch were above average for both party boats and the rest of the fishing boats, and that would have been the average fish size and the catch rates for most of the species, at least north of Point Conception. So there were some of the factors were consistent between all the fishing modes, and it would have been those biological and CPUE kinds of information, but it was the total effort was where the big difference between the two modes or the different modes was. And we only picked up the unusual effort estimate, unusually high effort estimate in the private and rental fishing mode.
Do you have any idea what the numbers are for the private fishing?
What do you mean by numbers?
Well, how many vessels, how many people we think are out there actually fishing? Do you have any idea? Any estimate?
I don't think we have any idea, do we? Less than 2 million, more than 100,000?
Oh.
I mean, I'm being a little...
Well, our Coastside report, we were coming in at 18,000 boats, launchings of private boats from Morro Bay to Eureka, and according to the Department of Fish and Game, their numbers were coming in at 25,000. So that's private launchings during the months of July and August combined, during that one wave.
And then you add the slip. Well, some of the harbors, the slip launches would have been included, and some wouldn't have been included.
Right, and that was launches. That could have been sailboats going out or whale watchers going out.
This sounds to me about as accurate as a telephone survey.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget that one of the big problems here is we really don't have a good data structure, or we don't have the data structure.
Hey, Zalky, I don't know about the rest of the people on this conference call, but I can't hardly hear you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's get some of you.
Tom, did you call in from another phone? Is that part of the problem?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, I was just going to reiterate kind of an obvious thing here is that, we clearly don't have a data structure that serves our need to manage the sport fishery. And there's nothing we can do about that other than continue to try and improve it. It doesn't help us right now. We're in a spot where a decision has to be made, do we pull the trigger on this or not, given the best available information. There's inconsistencies all over the place. Is this an outlier for MERS? Is it not?
And I think that the document the commissioners got was the department's best effort to make sense of what we have in our hands.
Mr. Fletcher, are you still there?
Yes, I am still here.
In your letter, you're asking for us to push this off for 2 weeks until our December 3rd hearing?
What I was asking is that in order to have the best information to make your decision, I was asking for a delay so that you could get all the best information that wasn't available when the council made their decision. I recognize the council was very hamstrung, but I felt that there was other data sets that might be make it more of a comprehensive decision rather than one based on mainly bad information, but it was all you had. That was what I was asking for.
Okay.
Will that recreational data that you were talking about that's before the SSC now be done by December?
No.
Patty, I don't know if you can elaborate, but that's a longer process.
The SURFS program?
No, I think Mr. Christman was referring to the need for the federal folks to peer review the coast site in.
Oh yes, that is a longer process. The GMT would have to undertake that, and be able to make that kind of build a relationship between a new data set and the ones that were used to develop the OIs, basically.
And the other risk, of course, is they could come back from peer review and say...
I'm sorry, Frankie?
I mean, there's a risk they could also come back and say, this is just as bad as MRFs. I mean, just because you go peer review something doesn't mean it's, you know, an automatic, this is
right.
A good thing. I mean,
no, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, if MRFs passed peer review, I'm sure this would pass peer review.
Well, I mean...
Nothing personal here.
Well, we also got to recognize that this MRF was never designed to be used the way we're
correct.
Using it.
Correct.
Yeah, why are we...
Well, we're using it because it's all that's available?
Yes.
It's cheap.
No, we're using it because it is available, and it's an integral part of the system that we're working with, and that doesn't mean it's the only thing we're ever going to use, and that's why we're trying to improve our ability to collect, you know, better recreational data with our SURFS program. But again, I think what I heard from Tom and Debbie was that while the CPSC catch information wasn't off the chart or an outlier, there were still trends consistent with the trends we're seeing in MRFs, just like the trends we saw in ocean salmon, that showed increases. The increases in catch rates, increases in fish size, and I believe, and Tom or Debbie are going to have to step in and say yes or no, higher, although not off the chart, not outside of normal, you know, sort of what's been the experience in the past, but higher effort, at least in that wave four.
So and
Debbie and Tom,
Patty,
I've
got a question. So the fact is that there are increased catch rates. They're increased catch rates, and is that the principal reason then?
Well, they're increased catch rates.
We're recommending?
Increased. These things all go together to construct an estimate. They're increased catch rates from all these modes. They're increased sizes of fish. There's samplers out there who are seeing more and bigger fish. And then there is this particularly large effort spike from the private skiff rental boat mode in Northern California. And it's the combination of all of that that puts us over the OI. But I was also trying to explain in my opening comments that even if that MRF number is reduced substantially, the one that everyone is concerned in is an outlier, we'd still be over the OI. And in fact, let me get my statement straight here. The, if you can hear me, we wanted to stay within the in order to stay within the OI, the effort in that private and rental boat mode would have to be below normal. Not exceptional, not high, but below normal. And there isn't anything to suggest that that's what we should be seeing right now, or in wave four, excuse me. We're seeing effort above normal.
Patty, this is Randy Fry with RFA. So when the Department of Fish and Game, when they put together...
I'm sorry, Randy, keep talking.
When the department put together our season for this year, was it figuring that we would have a below-normal fishing effort?
Randy, I can't hear you. Maybe I'm thinking maybe it's on there in the commission office. I'm not sure.
I agree. I mean, this thing's getting so muddled up. I don't know about Papa Toy.
The only thing I
can... Sam, but I can't hardly hear anything.
Is there somebody on who's on a cell phone?
Well, I'm thinking that maybe the person speaking up there in Sacramento needs to be right at the phone.
No, but no, we can't. We're having a hard time hearing you. Hey, folks, let's do this. Let's have everybody get off. No cell phones, and call back in directly, and we'll continue this, and hopefully we'll get rid of that bad line.
Okay.
Yeah, you're coming through real clear, Mike. I don't know what the other problem is.
I'm a former actor. I know how to project, I guess. I don't
know. We're going to call back.
Cell phones don't. There's
somebody on there that's just...
Yeah. On the cell phone.
They're driving down Highway 101.
Yeah.
With
a top down.
Hi, this is Sam.
Hi, Sam. It's not you.
So far.
Who's that? Say your name as you come on.
Gary Sabaton, AG. Bob Nestle, and it was really hard hearing all you guys. It was impossible to distinguish between Patty and Bob Fletcher, and that's really difficult.
Sorry, Bob.
I'm kidding. I really understood every word, but it was really hard, you guys. Hard.
Well, I think we had somebody had a bad line.
So far, so good.
Bob Fletcher's on the line. This is much better.
All right.
This is.
Jim Kellogg's on.
Way to go, Jim.
Marcy's here.
Okay, well, maybe we got rid of that bad line then.
Yeah, this is a lot better.
Yeah, sounds good.
God.
Shall we start over?
I felt like I was...
Okay. All right, Randy, you had a question?
Yeah, and I forgot what it was.
Well, what?
Oh, okay. The wave four effort was estimated at 502,800 angler days, which is 3 standard deviations above the long-term mean effort from 2003. And it's 50% greater than the next highest effort estimate reported for those years. So, Mike, you'd said, Patty, that our effort would have had to have been below normal for us to have come out okay with a full six-month season?
Yeah.
Well, then why was...
Why was it designed that way?
Correct.
Well, that is one of the continuing challenges that we're having, and that is because we have to plan our management measures for the coming year, and we have to base it on some expectation that those management measures, like by that I mean seasons and bag limits and size limits, are going to get us to the OI but not over it. And so we have to use past experience with the performance of those management measures. And things have changed so dramatically in the last few years with overfish species, major closures, and rockfish conservation areas and those kinds of things that becomes very difficult, we're finding, to do that in a really, truly effective way. And having, for example, that 8-month closure probably changed how people behaved once they were able to get out on the water.
Patty, can I answer?
That's an example of a possible thing. We don't know that for sure, except that we've seen higher effort than we've seen this time of year in previous years.
Patty, this is Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Can I add something?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's also important to realize that that, as we mentioned earlier, that the average fish weights and the catch rates, although they were within the normal range of things, they were above normal. They were above average, although they weren't outliers. But in calculating the total catch, those are multiplied together, and just having a number of those individual inputs being higher than normal is enough to significant in itself to give us higher than expected catches. So when we crafted the season for this year, of course we were expecting average catch rates and average fish sizes. So that tended to put us a little bit above or somewhat above where we should have been anyway. And then to have this extra effort on top of that put us way over.
Okay, Tom, I got another question. The reason we are not fishing outside of 20 fathoms is to protect the canary, which is for the most part found outside of 20 fathoms, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we caught 14 metric tons of canary, even though we were limited to inside of 20 fathoms.
Well, out south of 40 degrees,
right.
10 minutes,
right.
South of Cape Mendocino,
right.
Some significant fraction of that canary came from up where the there was no depth restriction.
Okay, so we caught 14 metric tons of canary. How come we caught zero boccaccio?
Yeah, that is a very curious factor in the MRFs, and it's because there were no boccaccios observed in the bags is really what it comes down to. And, I mean, all we can figure is that the word got out very clearly on boccaccio that they were not to be retained. And apparently that was effective, and it's harder for anglers to confuse a boccaccio with anything else. With canaries, you know, some people might confuse them with a vermilion and think it was okay to keep it. And those are a couple of possible factors, but the real answer is they just weren't observed in the bags.
Federal waters. It goes in effect in our waters.
This is Sam, so just so I'm clear, we're being asked basically to conform our regulations to the PSMC. They've already acted, and they want us to
do the same
thing. Yes, that's true. And
okay.
And we want you to, we're asking you to close fishing for ocean whitefish because of the potential for bycatch.
Right.
Of those over
right.
Fish.
I got that.
Okay.
Okay. I got one more question for anybody who wants to answer it. Washington, they are allowed, their recreational sector is allowed to stay open within 3 miles of shore, basically their state waters. Retention of canary rockfish prohibited. Lingcod and yellow-eyed rockfish retention prohibited. Oregon, they're closing recreational fisheries for federally managed groundfish species seaward of a management line approximately 27-fathom curve. Open shoreward of the 27-fathom line, retention of lingcod and canary rockfish prohibited. So Oregon and Washington, the PFMC or NOAA is allowing them to fish and just throw back their canary and lingcod. Why cannot California do the same?
Can I try to answer that?
Sure.
This is Tom. The state of Oregon in particular came forward with an analysis at the council meeting that showed that if they were restricted to that depth zone, that they would be expected to catch only a matter of kilos of canaries. And
But are there canaries typically in deeper water?
Yes.
Yeah. Are there,
and the further north you go, the deeper the canaries. Yes, but deeper the canaries tend to be. Going into this season, before we had our Wave 4 experience, that was a similar situation for California. However, once we got, as you noted, we went into this season with an expectation that California recreational fisheries would take about 3 tons of canary rockfish. And when the Wave 4 number came in, as Randy mentioned, at 14 tons, it wasn't realistic for us to still carry forward for the rest of this year that a 0 to 20 fathom fishery would, well, first of all, we were way over our 3 tons, but that it wouldn't continue to track way above what we had expected. I said that most of that canary, or a good portion of it, might have come from north of 40 degrees 10, but still, I something like half or a third of it came from south of 40 10. And given that situation, we just weren't in a position to recommend that we allow our fishery to do that, having this wave four number there as our most recent history. If we were in a situation where we had wave five catches, that might tend to show if the wave four really was an outlier, or if it was something that carried forward into additional fishing period, it might have helped to justify the state proposing to keep just a 20-fathom fishing opportunity available.
When will you
but get... Notwithstanding all of that, I think it's important to realize, too, that our nearshore rockfish, OYs, were significantly exceeded. So even if we were out of trouble on Canary, we still were in deep trouble, significantly over on our OYs for the shallow species. So that in itself would probably keep us out of the 20 fathom to 0 to 20 fathom zone.
Thanks, Tom.
Mr. President, and members of the commission, I had another comment.
Go ahead, Bob.
In the last 24 hours, Governor Schwarzenegger has signed Executive Order S2-03, and that executive order is to become effective immediately. And I guess the question I have would be to the representative from the Attorney General's office. This executive order says each agency, department, board, commission, et cetera, shall, and then I'll skip down to the relevant portion of it, cease processing pursuant to the California Administrative Procedure Act any proposed regulatory action, including emergency regulations, or further review for a period not to exceed 180 days. How does that executive order affect the flexibility of the commission to conform state to federal regulations by emergency action?
This is Gary Tabatin from the AG's office. Quite frankly, I have not seen that executive order. I don't have the answer to the question.
Joe Milton, Fish and Game Legal. I do. We're aware of that. If you read the executive order, there are exceptions. Petitions can be made to the Department of Finance. And even as we speak, we are preparing that avenue.
Yeah, and our recommendation of the commission is department that I conferred with our legal counsel, Mr. Valentine, earlier, and I know Michael and Joe have been talking, is given the uncertainty of what that executive order actually means, it's our recommendation to continue forward, and then it'll get straightened out. We'll find out through OAL and others what it actually means. The worst case scenario is you make a decision and it gets set aside or not approved. We don't know.
All right, well, I'm ready to make a motion.
Sam, just before you do that, let me ask Joe a question, if I might. Joe, were you at the PFMC meetings?
No.
Was anybody on the phone at the PFMC meetings when these decisions were made?
This is Tom. I was.
Okay. Can you describe for me the conversation surrounding the validity of the MERCH data at the PFMC meeting this year?
There was, on the council floor, there was considerable discussion of that very topic. Some of the departments announced that you have it in the attachment, were presented as part of a groundfish management team report to the council, and that did was part of the discussion that the council engaged in. The council looked at the adjustments that the department had proposed on a approach that classified the effort estimate as a statistical outlier and our adjustments according to that. And I think part of the reason why that didn't go anywhere was that even after we made those adjustments, the OIs were still exceeded because they were based on MRFs data and just statistically working with the MRFs data. The Fisheries Service representative, Bill Robinson, my recollection was that he acknowledged that there was some doubt as to the accuracy of the MRFs data, the RECFIN data, but that there was it did constitute the best information available, and that further that it was possible that the effort estimate was not in a great error, and that it was indeed much higher than anyone had expected. And I think that formed the basis of the council going forward with the information at hand and basically acting on the MRFs, the RECFIN estimates as they stand.
Bob Fletcher, you asked to delay the decision until our December meeting. What new data would we get by the December meeting that could change this?
Mr. Christman, what I suggested in my letter was based on the fact that there had not been any review of some of the other data sources that I thought might raise questions about the accuracy of the MRFs data. The department has provided a lot of that background in their document
right to
you dated today.
All right. Are you satisfied with their explanation?
Well, I guess I am reluctantly will accept that some of these other data sources may show higher than normal effort. I'm still of the opinion that as a management tool, that MRFs is an absolute piece of garbage, and I think there's a general feeling that that's the case. I would only, if you choose to take an action to close this fishery based on this data, I would only ask that in the future you keep the department's feet to the fire on the development of this alternative data system, because clearly we are suffering a terrible economic hardship as a result of mainly information that no one thinks is worth anything.
Yeah, I agree.
Are we not able to do what they've done in Oregon and Washington then?
That's what I was going to say, Mike. I don't know if Washington can do something different than what the feds had recommended. I don't know why California can't. And I'm thinking along the lines that, that to me these numbers mean that we don't have the problems that some people thought we had, and we probably need to raise this OY. And I don't know why we can't look at going ahead and shutting down the commercial and keeping at least maybe with a couple of exceptions the recreational sports fishing open.
May I, this is Patty Wolf. May I offer a couple comments?
Sure. This is Sam. I'm sorry, but I have to hop off now.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Patty.
Tom Barnes commented earlier about the regulations in Oregon and Washington and why, relative to these overfished species, they were in a position to allow continued fishing where we don't believe we are.
Why aren't we, Patty?
Because we can't, first of all, our catch of canary is identified as high. We can't avoid canary close to shore, for example, like they can in Oregon and Washington.
And why can they avoid it in Oregon and Washington?
Because those fish occur in deeper water.
In deeper water up there as opposed to shallow
water? Yeah, the farther north you go, the colder it gets.
I understand that. But
the canary reside in deeper waters. and Lincoln can be thrown back. But canary are definitely a driving force, and as Tom pointed out, we're well over the OI.
And canary, you can't
catch
them
for the minor nearshore rockfish too.
Yeah. Okay. I tell you what, I'm ready to make a motion to accept the department's recommendation. But if I'm still on the commission next time, this is the last time,
Yes. The
very last time,
Yeah. That
I will accept any MRF data in making any decision. I'm tired of this. We've been doing it for years. I understand that we've got a study coming. I understand that essentially that we've got we're working to improve that data, the data set. I know we're working to set aside the MRF data. But you know, this is just, from my perspective, just unacceptable. And I'm willing to make the motion one last time to accept the department's recommendation. But from my speaking as one commissioner, if I'm still involved next year, this is the last time.
I would echo those sentiments. I don't even know why we're here. This data is extremely suspect.
Ask for a second.
I'm going to go even further than you two mics are, because I just agree with what Zonkey said. There's so much inconsistency in this data that I don't want to see harm done to the commercial and sports fishery if it doesn't have to happen.
Well, the problem, Jim, is it's going to happen anyway. If we choose not to act, the feds are going to step in and shut it down anyway.
Yeah,
the commercial fishery has already been closed.
I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it, and I'm also hearing exactly the same thing with this data problem. And I'm new to the commission, and I've heard this every single
time. Okay.
And again, if we have the collapse of the going on.
And I'm assured by the department, before we move further, that there's no way that we can do anything that they've done in the other states. There's absolutely, positively no way we can keep folks on the water and avoid these fish.
I wish we could.
Yeah.
All right.
But I hear that.
Just so folks know, Marine has been through hell for the last month and a half since we first got wind of this. I mean, we've been, I've told them go back, check all the numbers, look at every rock. I mean, Coastside, we got data. We looked at this thing every possible way we could, but literally we're trapped.
All right.
Very good.
Could succeed from the union.
Yeah.
roll call.
Call the roll, please.
Mike Chrisman.
Yes.
Bob Hattori.
Yes.
Jim Kellogg.
No.
Michael Flores.
Yes.
Motion passes. Sam Shookit.
He had to leave.
Okay. Motion passes 3-1. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Can I make one comment before you close?
Sure.
If for some reason this executive order does in fact prevent the commission action from going into effect, will the department enforce the federal action in state waters?
This is Marcy. I'll take that one. Actually, the department has authority, Section 27.82 of Title 14, which it has already used to conform to this action under its own authority for rockfish and lingcod.
Yeah.
And that, as Patty discussed earlier, was released in a public notification earlier last week.
Yeah, it would, just so there's no confusion, it would be very awkward and very damaging to put the department in that situation. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, Bob, did you get an answer?
Oh, yeah, I guess the way I understood it, the commission action was mainly to shut down whitefish, but the rockfish and ringcod had already been shut down by state law, by the department, and
correct.
The commission wasn't necessarily required to do this.
That's
to
right.
Shut down state waters.
That's right.
Not quite. It's
there's some
there. species.
It's the other groundfish species besides rockfish and
right.
Plus the whitefish.
Well, there's no other groundfish species that aren't managed by the council, are there?
Oh, yeah. There are some. I mean, there's a list.
82.
Yeah, you know, there are 82 total, and of those, I don't know offhand how many are rockfish and the Adling cut, but there are some others.
Okay.
The bottom line is, all you have to remember is we really also don't want to put our poor fishermen in the spot of not knowing whether they got a hot fish or a cold fish and just drive them crazy. I mean, unfortunately, we're in the spot, you know,
that'd be
the game's over until we straighten it out for January 3rd.
All right, you guys.
Hey, let me ask you, does this mean that now we're back to that situation where the commercials get to start the first of the year and the sports fishermen don't start until March or whatever?
No, the regulations start the first of the 2004 ground fish season starts January 1st for everybody.
Right.
That's not true.
Except in the South.
Not true. In Southern California, the fishery doesn't start until March 1st.
Oh, all right. But all right. Yeah, sorry, right.
We took our closure during salmon season.
Right.
Okay.
They split it.
Thank you, Bob.
Right.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you all very much.
Okay, thank you.
See ya.
See you, Bob.